Good.
Okay.
Excellent. Wow, I'm so excited.
You've bellowed in board meetings, but today's special.
We usually have a gavel, but no gavel in this room, so we'll do a bell today. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming. Calling the meeting to order of the regular session of the Hillsborough City Schools board meeting at 9:01. Let's begin with a salute to the flag. So if you could please stand.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 2.2, approval of the agenda. Any trustees have any changes to the agenda? We had some brief discussion about maybe moving item 4.1 around. We'll see what happens as the time goes on. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Is there a second? Thanks, Anne. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Agenda approved. Item 2.3, approval of the minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes? Motion to approve the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Margie. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Minutes approved. Thank you very much. Item 3, regular reports. HTA. Mary Torello is in the front row.
Top.
Go for it. And take your time. Just tell us some stories.
Thank you, Mary Torello for HTA. Thank you so much for a wonderful school year. I think the teachers and everyone actually worked really, really hard, and it was a great year. We'd like to offer our congratulations to Marie Brady, which is why I'm here today, to just offer our support from the Crocker teachers and just to say how thrilled we are to have you joining us at Crocker and in the district.
Thank you so much, Mary. Item 3.2, Superintendent Report, Luann Carlamont.
Okay, I'm just going to talk to the flowers here. just want to share a couple things. So, of course, end of year events, it was really a great last couple weeks of school. Even with the chaos of just it being the last couple weeks of school, we had wonderful field day events, and I think everything was capped off with our Crocker graduation ceremony. And this year, many of you know the graduation ceremony, we did it on a Friday afternoon, compared to doing it every other year previously had been on a Saturday. So this was a whole new thing for us, and I thought it went off without a hitch. Jamie was wonderful, just kind of spearheading the event. Our parent group was just phenomenal in setting up the hall and having everything ready. And I think that we were done in just a little bit over an hour. So it was quite a lovely event, and I just really appreciated seeing the kids and Peter Olson, our speaker, he was fabulous, our student body president. So he kind of kicked off the event, and it was great. So just wanted to say congratulations on a great year end. The promotion ceremonies as well were really wonderful too. And again, new this year, we had the promotion events the same day as our Crocker graduation. And I'm sure it was a little hectic for parents who had kids in fifth and eighth grade, but in general, those events were lovely too. So just wanted to say thank you to everyone for their effort in making things run so smoothly. And really, that's it for my report. I just want to say thank you to all of our educators who did a phenomenal job this year. Again, especially towards the end of the year, I think that there was still a lot of focus and a lot of great work happening the last couple weeks of school, which is always just a little bit of a challenge. So just wanted to say thank you to all of our educators and, of course, to our associated parent group and to HSF for just being there for us, especially when we needed last-minute support in different areas. We know that we can turn to our partners, and we're just really thankful. And our assessed property values, 5.33. So Joyce will probably go into that a little bit when she does the budget. So good, not super great, but good. Similar to what it was last year. So that's a good thing, but we still would like to see a little bit higher. So I think that's it.
Any questions or comments from the trustees on the reports we've heard so far? Any members of the audience have any questions or comments? Shall we move to 4.1?
Yes, we should.
Okay, let us go to item 4, current business, 4.1, Crocker principal.
Yay! Okay, Luann. So this is an action item I present to our Board of Trustees. And I know that Maria has had an opportunity to meet with most of our trustees. We'll have a meeting scheduled with Ann Chen, who was away this week, but did bring back Voodoo Donuts with her, so that was a win. And we would love for you to take some of those donuts. They're absolutely delicious. So we are absolutely thrilled to have Maria join our team here at Hillsborough. Maria comes to us from the San Mateo Foster City School District, where she served as an administrator for the past 19 years. The last 10 years, she served at Audubon Elementary, and most of you will know that our West principal, Heather Burns, was Maria's assistant principal, and so she came to us last year, and I can't help but think there was a little connection there about perhaps bringing Maria here this year. Normally, we would have our principals in the room, but they are all at a new principal's institute at UCLA, so they are out of town, and some of our cabinet members are actually at PowerSchool, so PowerSchool University. So normally they would be here as well. But just thrilled to have Maria come. I think that when we were hiring for this position, we spent a lot of time talking to parents, talking to teachers, and really asking what they wanted to see in the next principal of Crocker. And I feel like we were able to accomplish that in hiring Maria. She, prior to her being a principal at Audubon, she was a principal on special assignment, coordinating district prevention program, supporting middle school students, and focusing on social emotional learning. And for those of you who've not been to the district before, we have these really amazing essential outcomes, and they really are about what we want our students to become when they leave Crocker Middle School. It's more than just having high test scores. It's about having students leave our district who are effective communicators, global citizens, just really good people. And so we look forward to Maria supporting that effort. So I do ask for the board's approval in hiring Maria Brady as our Crocker Middle School principal.
Any questions or comments from the board? Any questions or comments from members of the audience? Members of the public. Greg and I had the privilege of being on the interview panel for Maria, so got a good chance to have a nice long discussion. Appreciate that. I will move to approve the appointment of Mrs. Maria Brady as the Crocker Middle School principal effective July 1st, 2019.
I'll second.
5 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Done. We got it.
Then we have other goodies
okay.
for you.
Do
you have long enough time?
Oh, we have plenty of time.
Plenty of time. So let me start with my mom, Sue Berry. She's responsible for me. So.
Can you tell the lady?
And then my sister, Roxanne. And then, most important, my husband, Patrick, has been a great support. We need to thank him because he's just been really... When you haven't interviewed in 19 years, it does rock the boat a little in your world. So he's been great. And then we'll start with my youngest daughter, Drew.
Yay, Drew!
And then Samantha's the middle child. Actually, an East Coaster, but happened to be here this week. So it's rare that I have all three of my kids with me. And then my oldest, Jake.
Yay!
And then we're not done yet. This is my friend Beth Goff, who is the principal in Jefferson Elementary School District, but also worked with me for many years at Audubon as my intervention teacher. So. And I want to thank all of the Crocker people that I'm going to get to know. And I want to thank Jamie, who's been wonderful in welcoming me to Crocker and spending time with me this week. And I want to thank the parents that are here as well. So it was just it's been a really amazing process, and I've learned so much about myself through this process, and one of the things I'm most excited about is to be here in this district with such a close-knit community and to work in a small community with a small district with just four schools is really exciting to me, so that I can be a part of the district office work as well as the site work, and because my heart's always being with kids, but I do love all of the other pieces of the infrastructure of the school district, so I'm really excited to be part of here. So I want to thank you all for the welcome, And especially everyone that kind of helped me through this process, like Lonnie and Mary, and have answered questions for me, and Mary Chirello, who's really been wonderful in greeting me and waving at me from the top. I've just been touched by everyone. And I keep saying that it's been overwhelming in the best possible way, but thank you all for having me, and I'm so excited to be approved, so.
Yay!
Crocker swag.
This is my new sidekick, Dave Miller. Oh, perfect.
Yes.
I love
okay.
it.
Go you have to have some little dorky stuff. Oh, no.
Is it spelled correctly?
Okay. Okay, wait. Okay, one, two. Okay, we'll have to do photos.
We should do a picture with the
board. Yeah, we'll go out and do, we'll do a little photo with the board.
Yeah.
And then on behalf of the parent board, we'd like to welcome you as well. So we're so excited to have you and so excited to be working with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Really
of course.
Thank you.
Okay, and there's one more behind you.
Oh, goodness.
Lisa Edwards, and so nice to meet you. And on behalf of the Gilmer Schools Foundation, our signature color being green, which you'll become familiar with. We'd just like to give you a little something to welcome you.
Thank you so much.
The color of my backsplash in my kitchen, so I'm more analytical.
Okay, do you want to go outside and take a few photos?
Yeah, we'll have a short recess.
A short recess. We know you're going to take off with your family, but we'll do some photos.
Okay.
Awesome. On board.
Thanks, you guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Science people, thanks for being so patient. We lost our board president, though. Oh, there he is.
About to take the gavel.
Are you all waiting for me? Okay. Is Luann ready?
Okay.
Luann's getting a donut? All right.
Thank you to Karen for setting up the lovely breakfast event.
All right, resuming from recess. 4.2, Crocker 6-8 Science Adoption. Okay. Luann.
Thank you. So this comes to the board as an action item. We had a presentation at the last board meeting, and I think there were just a couple points we wanted to clarify. So Britton and Ron kindly offered to come, as well as Jonathan. So we have a short presentation for the board, and then we will hopefully take action. So it's all yours.
All right, so just to clarify my role in this a little bit, one of the things that Matt Linger was really nice about doing was allowing me to join the curriculum adoption team just so I could sort of look at it from a sped disciplinary lens, and I appreciate that, and that was helpful. That was also something I got to do with the social studies team, and we appreciate being included that way. So first thing I'm going to say about that. But my sort of opening remarks would be sort of the big picture thinking, and then Britton and I think Ron here and there too will come in with more of the specifics later on. So big picture idea, the reason why we are looking to adopt the STEM Scopes curriculum is it is NGSS aligned, unlike the previous sort of tangible resources that we've had in play heretofore. And there's a paradigm shift in switching to NGSS. It's about skills. And it is designed for to sort of take into account a world in which the students have the internet at their fingertips. And that means that has implications in a couple of different ways, which I'll address as I go on. So previous sort of in the context and the environment created by the previous standards, they were very and I think since this district has also lived through the Common Core adoption, a similar idea. Previous standards, students know this. Students know how, students know and can explain the spectrum. Students know and can explain the periodic table. Very sort of lower levels of Bloom's taxonomy in terms of understanding and applying knowledge. And much like the shift to Common Core, the shift from the old science standards to the NGSS takes us beyond that simple sort of declarative piece to an application and project-based focus. When I was starting my teaching career, just even subbing while I was getting my credential, I was looking at, I would go into some of the San Mateo Union high schools and sub in science classes. And there was, a lot of good science teachers do good lab work, but it often wasn't reflected in the way that they assessed and they test, and it wasn't mirrored by the curriculum. It was that lab stuff was often sort of external or interstitial stuff they were bringing in. Really, the idea with the NGSS is that at a curriculum level, it's more integrated, it's more of a piece, and so the work that, the formative work that you're doing, the lab work that you're doing, and then the assessment work that you're doing are all sort of, are integrated parts of a greater whole. So you're taking now that just declarative knowledge, which was the previous emphasis, which was the really main area of emphasis, the previous standards, and you're using it in an application-based context. You're arguing, you're developing models, you're analyzing and interpreting data, you're designing projects to solve problems, you're investigating phenomena, and you're determining and applying mathematical formulas and representations in the context of doing all that work. And that's a much sort of, those are much more ambitious sort of educational objectives and outcomes than had at least been sort of doctrinaire heretofore. And that's important when we're thinking about what we need at a curriculum level. So again, the previous context, you would read or you would learn about a phenomenon, maybe you'd watch a video, you might complete a fairly simplistic lab to show that, a teacher said, when I add baking soda to this volcano, the chemical reaction is going to happen, and the volcano is going to burble over, and then we would actually do that, and the students would have the context to put that together. And that was nice, but again, as our educational standards evolve, as we are trying to be more competitive with the students that are being replaced, that are being produced both in other states and in the world, we're now looking at higher objectives. So now, students are provided with materials and directions. They're investigating a phenomenon that's tied to like an overall investigation or maybe an overall issue, like which could be something like, let's think about the spectrum and then looking at an aspect of the spectrum, or let's think about climate change and let's look at maybe some of like the chemical phenomena driving climate change. And then allowing students to sort of organically make discoveries and formulate understanding before direct instruction. The direct instruction comes in and clarifies and contextualizes, but you really are letting the students do experimentation, exploration in a more authentic context. Back in the day, teacher explained what the students need to know. Very sage on the stage, very old school in terms of pedagogy. STEMscopes and the NGSS, students are directed by the STEMscopes curriculum to ask the questions themselves. You start out at an inquiry level and you move into project-based work from there. As they practice their science skills, the curriculum then has references to allow students to dive deeper into DCI. So the curriculum is in there as a backup and a resource and additional context, but it is not sort of the be-all, end-all. That's the old thinking that we're trying to sort of evolve past. So some highlights where we sort of describe how specifically this particular curriculum facilitates NGSS learning. So students are engaged and ask questions about the phenomenon. This is sort of the general paradigmatic approach to all of the STEMscopes work. Students have opportunities to show learning and get timely feedback. Students conduct experiments, and students generate questions about the phenomenon. And quick digression here. This was the first year that I had at Crocker, based just some opportunities that were created by my practice, where I really got to both proctor and read aloud to some students that had accommodations that required that, the CAS test, the eighth grade science test. And one of the things I want to briefly sort of mention here is really like when we're talking about this exploration-based, this project-based orientation, we're talking about the importance of the internet, and I would say even beyond that, online and computer-based tools, really now, when we're trying to generate students that can function happily and successfully in a world where technology is such an inextricable part of everything that we do, but particularly in terms of science, so much of the cast, and I had sort of seen that in some of the curriculum work that I looked at with the science team and in some of the professional development I've done before that, but it was another sort of revelation or sort of reiteration of how important it is to really think about how our teaching aligns to preparing students to take this new generation of assessments. There is an awful lot on the cast of exploring phenomena, and since it's a statewide science assessment, you're not going to be using chemicals in a lab with a teacher observing you, but you are going to be doing experimentation and inquiry-based work by manipulating computerized models. And that's something, that's a very authentic way. It supports all these lofty NGSS standards, but it's a new set of just sort of academic and technical and dispositional skills that we're also expecting kids to learn. And I think it will be really, really valuable going forward to have a curriculum that has embedded within it, and Britton and Ron can speak to this more in their turn, some very specific tools that not only teach the content, but also help students acclimate to being able to demonstrate their knowledge or to move through a process of experimentation using computerized models and simulations. So another thing that STEMscopes is really, really good about it's a great resource for teachers in a preparatory context. It has, in addition to all its other sort of lesson plan and curricular guidance, it also has a lot of videos that will actually show teachers exactly how to prepare or set up an experiment, how a specific activity will be conducted, how to use the materials and the phenomena the curriculum includes, and how to sort of prep students when it's time for them to teach appropriately. So Britton's going to start that video.
Yeah. Please not too loud. We didn't have it set up to test it.
Claw hand. You'll need the following materials and tools. 1. Cut a 1/4-inch dowel into 13 pieces, each 13 centimeters long. 2. Glue one part F1 into one part F2. Avoid glue at the fingertips. Then repeat. 3. Fold up the sides of part A. Glue and or tape together to form the handle. 4. Fold part B to form a square tube, then glue and or tape together. 5. Fold both part C's together around the square tube you just made. The wide end should line up with the end of the tube. Glue all of the parts and clamp together with binder clips. 6. Assemble the claw as follows. A. One of the assembled Y-shaped pieces, part D, glued to part E, with part D on the bottom. B. One of the assembled fingers, part F1, glued to part F2 on top of that, with the central hole in the finger lined up with one of the holes in the arms of the Y. Do the same with the other finger.
All right, so I'm going to pause it there. I think you guys start to get the idea here. When, as science teachers, we sit down to think about a lesson and whether what we want to do with that lesson or how we're going to make that lesson accessible for kids, we have a lot of materials to go through to make that decision. And the video helps us figure out whether we want to do the activity, if time's going to allow us to do the activity, and set it up. That might be really daunting. If I was just given a bunch of pieces in a container and I didn't know exactly how I'm supposed to put this together to actually make that happen for the kids. Or if I wanted to have the kids take some ownership to this lesson, I could even show them parts of that video and have them take on different portions of that. So I find that these videos are really, really helpful for planning and even can be used in the classroom sometimes. To let us know exactly what is going to happen, and we can kind of see our outcome before the kids have done it. So that can be really, really powerful for us. Another a big highlight for STEMscope is that assessments, assignments, labs, and homework and reading all are digital and can be edited. They use Google Slides to create the things that are in the workbooks. So all of the items that are in these workbooks that are part of the curriculum that pair with the smaller book that you have in your hands, and I'll pass this one around as well, this is all editable online. So if we don't like a question or we want to make a change to something, that is all something that can be changed. And I think that's something that Jonathan and his team really do like about this curriculum is that for English language learners and students with special needs, we can make accommodation changes to what is actually a physical printed thing, or we can print it ourselves and hand them their own copy. So it doesn't have to be exactly the way that it is came in that book. It can also be changed online.
Can differentiate.
So you can it definitely supports differentiation and accommodating students with different learning styles.
And it doesn't make it a whole lot of work. It makes it as easy for us as I guess could possibly be. By giving us material to start with and making it easy to modify.
So I brought some sample works as well as having a fixture for samples. In my sixth grade classroom, I was able to do STEMscope PDF and STEMscope kind of lesson. They had a project-based learning activity in there, and I had a good idea. I wanted to have the students make insects with pellets. That wasn't something that was in STEMscope at all. I just thought it was a really good idea. It fit in with the bee project-based learning that they were doing, where they were learning about pollinators and how bees are dying off and things like that. So I actually had them make insect hotels so they could...
Is that like where you check in and don't check out?
Hotel California. they had a really amazing engineering opportunity that I was able to go in and edit the STEMscope materials to facilitate. And without that, it might have been a challenge to kind of fit that into the curriculum. But having the flexibility to be able to edit those documents really helped. And then I have a few other samples that we were able to either use exactly how STEMscope suggested or to kind of change and design our own. So I wanted to give you some samples, so I'll pass those around. I have a timeline that my eighth grader students made about geologic time, so I'll pass that one around. And that comes from STEMscope, pretty much verbatim. And then we have some things that Mr. Shima made. His students made emergency plans, I guess. Not plans, more like kids' books to make kids feel less concerned about when a tornado strikes, when a volcano happens, when there's earthquakes and fires. So that's another thing that we wanted to share with you. And Mr. Chima was able to take a lot of the STEM scope and adapt it to his own personal style and his own teaching method to have outcomes like that for his students. Another great highlight about STEM scope is they have a lot of partnerships. One of those partnerships that's really cool is the BBC Video Library. So there will be a lot of resources for us to show students from a really well public funded, at least, but it's in the UK, but it's still public funded, and it's a prestigious, prestigious media. And then we also have things like FET. FET is an online simulation. And they pair with the University of Colorado Boulder to make this material that fits in with their simulations. And as Jonathan was mentioning, a lot of the new tasks on the state tests are digital labs. And this this company or this nonprofit is building a lot of digital labs, and the STEM scope saw the value there, and they put together materials to go with it. So that was a really great partnership that we saw as well. So we want to enhance STEM scope if it's adopted. And if it is adopted, we're going to enhance it with good practices. Adding additional readings, such as News ELA, which we already have here at Crocker, and then a resource that's free online called CK12. And we also are planning to enhance it using interactive notebooks. It's an initiative that we've been working with the district at the district level and through the elementaries as well, so to get everybody on board of using an interactive notebook, which is where they can put their science and learning, the students can add to their understanding, and it's a really integral part of our current program at Crocker. So we'll be able to use all of this material that we've already been using and use it with STEM scope, which is something that we're really excited about. Have STEM scope as a resource, but not always necessarily do every single thing that STEM scope has us do. So we do recommend STEM scope, and I have one slide about teachers and one slide about students, the reasons why we recommend it. So as a teacher, we recommend it because it is easy for us as teachers to use their online platform. The user interface is really well put together online. The videos that help us prepare for lessons instead of the labs are fabulous. They use the 5E instructional model, as other publishers do, which is really important for us. That's the explore, explain, elaborate, evaluate, and those are a really important part of utilizing the NGSS standards in new curriculum. We also have grade level reading in the textbook, as well as online readings to supplement that from the publisher. We have literacy supports, graphic organizers, review games, and other activities online, as well as material kits. We actually get a plastic bin with the materials that we needed to do that robot plot. So all that stuff would be there for us, and it gives us the consumable and reusable kits, so we don't have to go out and try to scavenge for our own materials to do the labs, meaning it's easier for us to run these hands-on labs and experiments. We also have some instant feedback in STEM scope. Some assignments are auto-graded, so students can get the feedback faster, and it's easier on us. And if we can't auto-grade everything, because some of it's a long paragraph, there is a way to release some feedback with the answer keys from STEM scope. So they can read over their own work, compare it to the work on the computer, if we can't get to every single single question that's got the written out answers. And then finally, we recommend it because it's also aligned with the California State framework, which is what we were using to teach with the NGSS before STEM scope, before all these other curriculums came out. As far as students, we recommend it for our students because there are many hands-on labs, there's many digital labs, and there's a lot of activities that help them interact with these new standards. They have a separated textbook from the workbook, which I think is a really big benefit because the kids won't have to lug around not only this amount of paper, but also the little book, which I think I passed out. So if you add those together, that's pretty hefty in their backpack. So at least we can slim down what it is that they would have to carry around. And we can, again, use our digital tools to make a lot of those worksheets. It's easy login and user interface on the student end as well. And again, we have those auto grade features for an easy feedback access if there is not auto grade for that specific item. And we have engaging labs, activities, and grade level appropriate material that allows students to ask questions and develop those science skills. And then finally, we recommend this for our students because students really like those FET simulations and it will help them prepare for the state test. So I want to thank you guys for all supporting our science curriculum at Crocker and open up to questions and be happy to answer those.
Trustees, any questions? Gilbert.
So how far along did you get with the other alternatives you were considering?
So we did a 4-week pilot for both of them. And we were using Stemscope as soon as we got access to it, which was a little bit earlier than we were doing pilots. When we went to the materials fair, I'm forgetting when the materials fair was, maybe in November, December, or January. And then we started, because we liked it so much, we started using it what we could in our own classroom out of the full-on pilot. And then we piloted it, and then we did the H&H pilot.
And what is the teacher's assessment of how far of distance where basically your final recommendation versus the second the other one would be?
Like if I ranked them one.
How far away?
How close a second?
Were they closer, you know, or not at all?
Not really.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that they were particularly close. We did a deep dive on a few other curriculums as well, and they kind of fell to the wayside. And it was kind of we have these two that we're going to try out because there were some materials that we did like in the HMH, and there were some things that we liked in Stemscope. We want to just make sure we did our due diligence, but Stemscope really stood out.
And Stemscope also, all they do is, at least right now, all they do is science. HMH, you know, once they get their science stuff out, they're going to be working on social studies or math or English. But Stemscopes seems very determined to keep things updated and to work with us.
I think the partnerships that Stemscopes has with FET and with the BBC are really appealing, and there's some potential there. I think, to me, like, I wasn't involved in the November work. I came when they were, I got involved with the adoption team when we were down to, I think, 3 or 4 curricula. HMH and Stemscopes were clearly the best two. HMH had a great textbook, but I think, and this is, I think, something that's happening with a lot of curriculum textbook developers, industry and discipline-wide, is that folks that have been focused, like HMH and McGraw-Hill and some of these other companies, they're really good at making the textbook. So the HMH textbook was the best textbook that we saw. I think even these guys would say that. But the other continuum of resources, the online stuff, they're not as experienced in that. They don't have the skill set for that. And I found the HMH resources to be much more threadbare, like non-intuitive, kind of kludgy in terms of even just their day-to-day function. And I think that's something, I think particularly when we're talking about STEM, like having those online resources that are both diverse, broad, and deep, but also really, really functional.
That was helpful.
Greg?
Yeah, I went on the link with the instructional video, and one of the things that struck me, and as you've said, these are prepared lessons, adaptable lessons, differentiated lessons and projects, and there was one part of the video that had a calendar on it for the teachers, and I don't know if you remember this, and they said you can actually plan your week, your month, and they talked about at one point departmental collaboration, and that resonated with me, because it seems like this array of resources, you could all be doing different things, and I wondered whether you had talked about as a science team, because it is so variable. The departmental collaboration in terms of planning out these calendars and courses of instruction with all the various levels going on here. I mean, in a cynical, negative sense, you could have 10 teachers going off totally on their own doing different things, which would probably not be good. So had you talked about that and how you as a team are going to use these tools to collaborate and make a cohesive program?
Yeah, so in Stemscope, one of the things they have set up is they have specific units mm-hmm. that are then broken down into scopes.
Right.
And inside of the scope, you have the flexibility to do different kinds of explorers, different kinds
right.
of engages, different kinds of explains, but they've put up, they've kind of put together a buffet for the teacher to kind of pick from. And that's when we all are definitely going to be following the same kinds of timelines for the units and the scopes. It's the individual, what works best for the teacher, kind of individual decisions making that can happen down at that scope level. And then there's a lot of times when we're working together that we are doing some dissimilar things, but not always exactly the same. That way we can benefit our students, because we know our students and what they need differently than another class.
So if I could repeat that back in my layperson's terms, this allows for thematic instruction on a macro level, and then you in each of your classrooms can drill down based on your kids' needs with the other tools they have, but you're still following the course of study, right?
Yep.
Okay. Because I thought that was a real, I mean, I hear everywhere I go, I hear about teacher collaboration and planning, and it just seemed like a wonderful tool for the department to use.
This is a fussier, more technical point, but I think it addresses a little bit what you said. One of the things that I thought was interesting when we had the pilot training for STEM scopes is, and it's just a little thing, but when you think about its implications for collaboration, it means a lot. When you're configuring your online class continuum in STEM scopes, you can have multiple teachers for one class. So that really, and that sounds like a small thing, but when you're designing instruction, when you're designing and pushing out assessments and assignments, it was really nice when we did the pilot stuff. These guys were able to share materials with each other. Britton was able to push stuff out to Greg and to Ron and whatnot. When I was able to see stuff because I had access, we were able to get some of the instructional aids that we put in there access. And some of these, you know, and all of this, as I was saying in my earlier response, online resources are still, you know, we're in the early phases of making that stuff work. But I was impressed. From what I've seen, and not just in science curricula, but looking at other curricula too, STEM scopes had more flexibility around that configuration piece, which I think probably facilitates the kind of positive collaboration that you're asking about and thinking about.
Ann?
So thank you. This I think shed a lot more light on STEM scopes, and I really love those workbooks. I think those really show where kind of the meat of getting the kids to dig in. Again, Britton, you weren't here when I said this, so you know I'm a Crocker graduate, and my best days at Crocker were the ISCS science days where we did experiments all the time. Ron's laughing at me because he had to
I
do
miss it too. No, and I loved it, and I loved teaching it.
So we're now at science every day. How many days a week will the kids actually have on, like, hands-on science? Because although I love the ability to use computer models and to adjust for different needs, I mean, when you go to the private schools, when you go in and where they're really highlighting, they have labs and kids are hands-on doing experiments. And I think we need to get the kids away from the computer so they're actually physically doing science. So how much is STEM scopes going to let us do science?
That's a great question. So a lot of the explores and explains have a hands-on component, and it's up to teacher discretion on how many of those they choose to do for that specific scope. But I would say about half of them are hands-on, and when we have the materials, we have the bin that has all the things that we need, and the video to show us how to do it, it leads all those steps up so that we are able to do that. So that was something that made things harder when we had to go scrounge to get our own materials to put this stuff together. Having it all accessible is a really big key so that we can do that when it's appropriate. But I think it's gonna change. There's gonna be some weeks where that's all we do. All we do is hands-on this week, because we're going to go do four explore experiments. And then maybe the next week we're doing some online components to do kind of the same thing, but on a more digital platform that can let us do some things or measurements that we couldn't do in the lab because we don't have those kind of materials, as well as some of the readings or some of the other support work that would go around it. But the idea is to have them really explore and kind of come up with their own questions and sometimes make their own experiments. And that can take a lot of time too, a lot of planning, and they're not necessarily having their hands on the materials when they're making their own investigation. They're planning it, and then they will execute.
I think that's great, because I think that's what we see at the elementary iLabs. that they're asking the questions, but just one last observation is that when I went to the open house, I just felt like the science labs felt like classrooms and not labs, and I would love us to be feeling more like labs, kind of more in the middle with this new curriculum. I think we have a great opportunity.
Yeah, and I think you will see that more once it's adopted and we're able to put it into full
implementation. Thank you.
Other questions from trustees? Any questions or comments from members of the public on the science curriculum? In that case, I will move that the board approve the adoption of STEM scopes for the science instructional materials for Crocker Middle School. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Cooper, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you for the excellent presentation. I know it took additional time, and we just appreciate that. So thank you. But it was really well done. Thanks a million.
And thanks for being here at our second June meeting.
Yes.
In the middle of the summer. All right, moving on, 4.3, social studies adoption. Luann.
Okay. We once again asked the trustees to approve the social studies adoption. We actually do have the National Geographic material over there. And, as well as STEM scopes. And so,
I'm happy to answer questions.
And Mary Torello, who's on her game as usual, is ready to answer any questions that may come up for the social studies adoption. I think that you presented a comprehensive review of the materials at the June 5th meeting, and the trustees were able to ask any questions at that time. Of course, obviously, they can still ask questions today, but I just asked for the board's approval on the social studies materials.
Questions or comments from the trustees? Questions or comments from members of the public? Anyone care to make a motion?
I move that the Board of Trustees approve the adoption of the National Geographic World History text and related materials, including online support for grades 6 through 8.
All second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
All right.
Motion passes.
The new social studies.
Thank you.
Curriculum.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yay. Nice job. Thanks again, Britton. Jonathan, you're welcome to stay or go.
I was waiting for a quiet moment to leave.
Well,
take some donuts, take some food with
we'll you. Give
and
you your moment.
Head on out. We're all good with that.
All right. 4.4, Certificated Administrator's Salary Schedule. Joyce.
Okay. So what's uploaded here is one's the existing salary schedule. The other one is a revised one. And as I said on the language here, the new one reflects that for the 6 to 8 principal, the step one per diem rate is 3% more than the K to 5 principal salary schedule. And everything else remains the same. Work calendar remains the same. And this is a one item that the district negotiation team has been discussing for a few years. And it also being discussed at a cabinet. So,
any questions or comments from the trustees? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Anyone care to make a motion? I will move that we approve the 2019-2020 Certificated Administrator's Salary Schedule. Is there a second? Greg, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you, Joyce. 4.5, Classified Salary Schedule.
Likewise, there are the two items here. A is the existing 2018-19 Classified Salary Schedule, and B is the proposed updated 2018-19 Classified Salary Schedule. And the only change is that at a range 22, we add a new position, Data Systems Specialist. And this is for one of the administrative assistant two employee who has been performing tasks related to data systems in the school district. And it's again the item that has been negotiated between Luann and the employee herself and the employee supervisor. So a lot of research was done on both sides. And then, so this is the point. We felt that this position can be introduced into the new salary schedule, and we recommend the board approve that. Or ask questions.
Questions or comments from the trustees? Yes, Greg.
Has Has CSEA signed off on this?
Yes.
Because I didn't see any.
I know that we, Kim Hover went through the process of approving this through CSEA, and last I talked to Kim, it was approved, but I can verify that.
Because you know what happens with that money.
Yeah. So. I'm just thinking at the last, I'm trying to think of the last, thinking about the MOU for the employee. I mean, I know a lot of conversations happened with Mark Westerberg and with Kim.
Yeah, I'm not worried about our people. I'm worried about Westerberg. So.
Yeah. We can approve it, and if there's a problem that comes up, I will have to bring it back to the board.
I can find out real quick if you want me to step up.
We can do what you said.
Yeah, we can have, if the board is in agreement, we can have them approve it, and then.
Okay. Actually, if we approve it and they haven't, it's going to take care of itself.
But we've been working collaboratively with Kim, with the union, through this whole process. But again, I'm just not sure of the.
Okay.
Other comments? Members of the public, any comments? Care to make a motion?
I move that we approve the proposed 2018-19 classified salary schedule as updated to add the data system specialist at range 22.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. 4.6, LCAP, Luann.
All righty. Our Director of Ed Services, Matthew Lindner, is at Power School University with Lorraine and with Nicole. So he asked me to present this item. We asked for the board's approval on the LCAP. This is the second time bringing it back to the board. And you can see that there were some edits made since June 5th. But these were discussed, most of them were discussed at the last board meeting, just in terms of the mission and vision and getting the most up-to-date information on each of these items. So that has been updated in the LCAP, and we ask for your approval.
Questions or comments from the trustees? Questions or comments from members of the public on the LCAP? Seeing none, any motion? Anyone care to make a motion? Markey will.
I'll move that the Board of Trustees approve the adoption of the 2019-20 Local Control Accountability Plan for HCSB.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. LCAP passes. Thank you, Lauren. Mm-hmm. 4.7, the LCAP.
Addendum. So 4.7 is simply the federal government saying we want more from you than just the LCAP. So districts now have to do a federal addendum that addresses federal funds. And so we did that on this document. We are not a district that receives Title I or Title III funds, but we do receive Title II funds for professional development. And so we note that in this addendum, but again, every district is required because that's what the federal government wants. So we ask for the board's approval as an addendum to our LCAP for this upcoming, let's see, it's due July 1st. So yes, we just ask for your approval on the addendum.
Any questions about the addendum? Members of the public? I move that we approve the HGSD Local Control Accountability Plan Federal Addendum for the 2019-2020 school year. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Gilbert seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you very much. 4.8, the Education Protection Account and the Final Budget Adoption. Joyce.
Hi. I presented the budget for the proposed budget for 2019-18 at the June 4th board meeting. So the budget remains the same, except on this multi-year projection, I correct a typo. And then Don and Greg pointed out that the interfunded transfer out was $50,000 all labeled as for Fund 20, but actually it's a split. It's $15,000 for Fund 13 and $35,000 for Fund 20, OPEB. So that part is corrected on the MYP, but does not impact the ending balance, nothing else. It's just a typo. Also, Proper 30 and Proper 55, the revenue generated by the state from the increase of income taxes for high income makers. And then that goes toward education as $200 per ADA. And those two propositions require school districts to approve to approve this expenditure plan for the proper 30 and proper 55. We call that education protection account funding. So we project in 2019-20, the revenue would be $270,270. And as usual, we have always been spending the money on teacher salaries and benefits and nothing else. So I recommend the board approve the proposed 2019-18 budget as presented, and I also had a public hearing on June 4th, as well as the expenditure plan for EPA funding.
And George, just for a clarification, we talked at the last board meeting about the Cisco IT loan and how that might adjust the MYP, and you weren't going to change that this time, but the next time we see an interim budget.
I'm thinking about that too. Actually, I have been working with the county to find out the schedule from the county. I said I can correct it because we have a 45-day provision. Within 45 days after the budget is adopted, which for us is perfect by August 14th to make any changes. But once the budget is adopted and rolled into the new year, changes are made through budget revision. However, the El County office, they call Department of Business Administration, DBS Services, it has been taking them a while to review the school district budget and then review and approve them. And then before they finish their review and approval, they do not open up school districts for budget transfers. I had a problem last year when I need to transfer budget. I couldn't do that. So I followed up with them and say, how fast can you work? Because for us, if a revision needs to go to board for August 14th, that means that the board agenda finalized 9th, and I need a few days before that. I asked them, are you able to finish reviewing and approving the budget by August 5th and open up school district for budget transfers? I've not heard back. And then historically, they've done that like mid in September. So I'm not sure technically I can do that. So latest is a September board meeting when I close books. I probably can update the budget or will be the first interim. But what I want to mention, I mean, to the board is that the money is there. It's just we pay, instead of paying the $1.2 million at the end, we pay in 3 installments. But money has been set aside. In fact, in 1920 budget, we have set aside more than enough to pay back that first installment. So it's going to change the expenditures in the 3 years, but it will not change the, how should I say, the end result in the 3-year term.
But the ending the ending balance at the last.
Yeah,
in the third year will be different.
3 years later will be the same. Yeah. But once I update the budget, the first year, second year ending balance will be much less.
Will be less
by the $430,000. And then I would like to make that change. But again, it's how soon the county can open up for me to do the revision.
Just want to be sure we were on the same page about what we see here versus what we expect
to happen. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so the expenditures as presented and as posted in this packet, expenditure for 1920 is $430,000 or less. I mean, ending balance. We have more expenditures we paid up front already. And likewise in 2021 as well. So I don't know if that makes sense.
That's good. Okay. Thank you, Joyce. Any other comments or questions from trustees? Yes, Greg.
A couple things. With regard to the EPA, I just want to point out it's another one of those things where some people kind of flippantly say, you know, the fact that we're declining ADA is a good thing because we're basic aid. Well, there's an account that's based on ADA. I know it's, 1% of our budget, but nevertheless, it's $270,000 that goes down as we keep losing students. The second thing I wanted to say is, and I know my colleagues here probably did, but I read through the introduction and summary of the budget, and Joyce, I thought it was very well written and informative. If anyone ever asks, this is my personal feeling, if anyone ever asks what the priorities of this board are, it's the budget, because it's where we spend our money. And the other thing I really liked about the summary that I don't know that I've seen before, I could be wrong, I really liked the history of the negotiated settlements.
We had that. We actually had a lot of it before.
Yeah, but it was well done.
I try to keep that and keep adding the updates.
It's a real good history there about the priority we place on our employees. So thank you for a good job.
Are there questions from trustees? Nope. Members of the public, any questions on the budgets? We have two action items here, the EPA and the budget itself. Anyone care to make a motion?
I'll move that the board approve the proposed 2019-20 spending plan to use funds for teacher salaries and benefits for 19-20 using the EPA funds.
All second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. EPA passes. Second motion.
I'll move that the board adopt the 2019-20 Hillsborough City School District budget.
I'll second that as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
Both pass. All right, 4.9, resolution 2019-10, budgetary increases and transfers. Joyce again.
This is, as I prepared for 2019-20 budget, we always have to figure out how we're going to end the current year. And I call that the estimated actuals, 18-19 estimated actuals. So the current estimated actuals is the current budget in our books for 18-19. So we'll be closing books end of August, and the very latest the beginning of September. By that time, all the bills supposedly all paid, and then we'll figure out if certain categories need more budget, than already in the books. So this resolution will allow me to make budget transfers to, most people usually say get a resolution to approve for the budget increase, but I also do budget decrease too, because in certain categories, if budget is more than actually spent, then I will decrease the budget too. Mostly it's in and out. Mm-hmm. So this resolution 2019-10 is to authorize me to do the budget transfer so we can close the books for 8-19. And I recommend the board approve it.
Any questions or comments from the trustees? Any questions or comments from the members of the public? Would anyone care to make a motion about the budgetary increases and transfers? Gilbert.
I move that the Board of Trustees adopt resolution number 2019-10, authorizing county superintendent of schools to make transfers between and among the undistributed reserve and expenditure classifications in the 2018-2019 budget as necessary to prevent payment of obligations of the district incurred during the school year.
Is there a second?
Second.
And seconds, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Transfers pass. Thank you, Joyce. 4.10, Instrumental Music Services Agreement. Luann.
All righty. So we asked for the board's approval for this instrumental music agreement. And I think that everyone is aware that this year was a pilot year for us with the instrumental music program. In the past, we'd hired a teacher. And we actually hired 4 teachers in the last 5 years prior to this school year. And so we are thrilled with the outcome of the work that has happened this year with the instrumental music program. And Tana Barnett definitely took the lion's share of just the work around the programming. And there's been a lot of logistical pieces that have all come together to make the program work that was nothing less than amazing just in terms of coordinating so many efforts. And it all came together with the Spring Fling, and I think most of you were at the Spring Fling, and it was a little bit of organized chaos, but it was a really incredible event. And so essentially what we are doing is instead of offering 30 minutes of music instruction during the day, we are offering 80 minutes of music instruction before the school day. So one of the highlights that comes of that is that kids are not being pulled out of instruction during the school day. Before, what would happen is 4 or 5 kids at a time would be pulled out, depending on the instrumental choices that they made. And so the whole afternoon, kids were moving in and out of classrooms for 4th and 5th grade. And that, to me, was just an unacceptable practice. And it was unacceptable based on feedback from those teachers who just said, it's really difficult. When kids are coming and going, we just lack consistency of instruction. So the music program itself, we have contributed, HCSD, $65,000 towards the program. That is what we had spent on the part-time music teacher previously. This year, we contributed an extra $21,000. And a lot of that actually went towards the Spring Fling, because renting the San Mateo Performing Arts Center is not cheap. And it's just a little bit unfortunate that it's, you know, on a public school campus and public schools still pay a lot of money for it. But it was an amazing venue for us. This year we're looking at overruns of about 34,000, but we don't know for sure because there's so many variables. We're adding guitar to this year's program, so after school, any student who wants to participate in instrumental music through guitar will have an option to do that, and we're also adding strings. So it's a balance. I mean, there's just gonna come a point where we're gonna have to say no more investment in this program. I'm hoping the board will agree to this increase from last year, again, because we're growing the program. And parents do contribute $500 towards the program. Approximately $500 towards the program. So it's not an inexpensive program, but the performance of our students at the end of 1 year has been phenomenal. And that's what we were looking for, kids coming to Crocker in sixth grade and really being able to start in band and just take off running. So I asked for the board's approval. Our memorandum of understanding was created by LLK. So that's our Leilani, Luann, and Karen. But actually, it was Joyce who wrote it up. So we probably want to have County Council look at it since we wrote it up ourselves. And it's a little bit ironic that County Council would be here. So I'm asking for the board's approval pending a review by County Council of our agreement, our MOU that we want to sign with TANA. Any questions?
Ed.
So, you know, I was so moved by the spring fling. I think it is amazing. I think the buzz around the town is just, it's on fire. Everyone is so impressed with the music program. So I was thinking that we should increase the parent contribution. And this is the year I think you could actually do a bigger step up because it's the first, we said, you know, this is the first year, we really didn't know, and we're still subsidizing it even if we go to 550, we're still subsidizing it. But I think we need to set the expectations that, you know, it's not going to be flat. I don't know, it's just from my sales days that, like, when you have a big thing and the opportunity, make the big jump because the incremental jumps will never get you there. And if we have the 1 year, I think it's the year to do it.
We've already put out the fees for this year, so we had to put them out earlier, but we could definitely look at that for next year, but we already put out the fees for this year.
Gilbert.
Yeah, my comment was also about budget. I think the feedback I've heard from parents, very positive on the spring fling. I think that I recall some parents who've said that, you know, they're investing also, but I think we need to remind the parents that we've increased our investment in this area. So it's not like they're taking the place of the funds that we are spending. We are not only spending what we used to spend to increase quality and quantity of instruction time, but we're also adding to our commitment in that area. So I think that's part of our messaging that we need to make sure when we do this rollout during the fall that, you know, parents and our community are reminded. I talked to Stephen Glory, former board member. He said he didn't know about it, but we can do a better job in terms of communicating with the town, because I think there are people in town who are interested and would come back for something like the spring fling. So those are all things that I've heard from the community over the last month.
That's an interesting idea to make it a community event. Yeah, didn't really think about that. Greg?
Levine, I want to make sure I understand. You said we spent $65,000 last year and an additional $21,000.
Yeah, so the
and now an additional $34,000.
Yes, so and not on top of the $31,000, just the differential.
Not on top of the $21,000.
Not on top of the $21,000.
So what's the total?
On top of the $65,000.
On top of the $65,000. So
we kept a $65,000 as a amount that we would have paid up by time. Instrumental music teacher.
So it's $100,000.
$100,000.
So it's a 33% increase.
33% increase.
Over the 65. Actually, it's a 50%. 50% increase.
50%. Right, but it's only, we put the 21,000, so I'm looking at more as a $14,000 increase. It's like shopping at Nordstrom. It's like going to sales at Nordstrom.
We budgeted 65, and now we're budgeting 100.
No, last year we
2 years ago, we budgeted 65.
2 years ago, we budgeted 65.
And now we're budgeting 100.
So it's a 50% increase.
Yes, but we more than 50% increased the amount of music instruction given to the students.
Can you look at attachment 1 to this item?
The MOU or the?
The other one.
The budget.
Right.
The agreement.
No, the budget.
You want to look at the budget, yeah.
I don't understand the top part, the per class rate, number of classes, and those dollar amounts.
Okay, so what that is we have individual music teachers who come and do the classes. They get paid $100 per class. And they have 52 classes at, that doesn't add up. Oh, no. Yeah, it does. It does add up because it's $5,200 plus the $1,000 for the other event. So it comes to $6,200. And if it's double the flute for the second flute teacher, it just means they're teaching two classes. So that's how that breaks down. So it's $100 per class, and then depending on how many classes they instruct. Because it's essentially an hour for them. They come, they set up, they teach, they break down. So it's an hour.
Okay. My other comment that I made earlier, and maybe it's just I don't understand the allocation of resources here. The concern I had with the MOU was paragraph 11.
Right,
which says that the director, who is our employee, is serving as an independent contractor to the recreation.
Correct.
And I questioned whether that relationship meets the legal definition of independent contractor. So if you know a good lawyer that could review that.
I think I probably do. Okay. So we probably need to do that to just verify.
It just sounded a little weird to me that our band director is being categorized as an independent contractor. I understand she's being paid from the rec commission, but independent contractor means she can come and go and do as she wants, and she doesn't use our facilities, doesn't use our resources.
Okay. She does pretty much run her own program. Like, we have no oversight over when she's going to come, what she's going to do.
Well, okay.
I will talk to our
on that. I don't want anyone to mistake my comments. I mean, I grew up with great music program. You know, that was my career for a while, so I'm totally in support of music.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe I just was asleep at the wheel here. I wasn't aware over the course of the last 2 years that we would be doubling our budget. It just it came as a little bit of a surprise to me. It's not a lot of money.
No, I know.
And I support music greatly, so I just
I can give the board an update.
Like to be better. Either I missed it, or I'd like to be better informed of the progression of this thing. So,
Did you want to add something to this?
Yeah, because I've been talking to Kim about, because Tana is our employee, and then I guess the problem to pay her from the district is that she's already full-time, and this is a sort of preschool, after-school program.
Right.
It's above and beyond our normal regular hours. But we did, and since, you know, communication last night, and I did think more about it and ask him, let's follow up with the county and the STIRS to see what we should do in this case. And then if district were to pay, can we pay the stipend or the amount of matter? And I just got an email back. I'm not finished reading it. It's a long one. And it says probably should be paid as additional work. So we will explore other options going forward. And I guess you're right, because last year was the first year, and we didn't really have a lot of time or thoughts put into this to draft the MOU and just get a program going. But we should look more closely, because in the long run.
And we did last year, though, too. Mm-hmm. We did look at it last year.
Yeah, I'm talking about as an employee. I mean, it's an option. We can just pay it.
This is no criticism of what we've done.
I know,
and
but
just
I don't,
going forward, let's just do it the right
I'm
way.
I'm not taking it as criticism. Yeah. Take it what's the best way.
Best
do
way.
It right.
Right.
And then I just feel we need to do more work to see what's the best way, given the computation part is that she's just a STIRS employee. She's a district employee, already working full time.
This time, we agree this time. So.
just as a side note, though, HREC does hire a lot of teachers in the district through HREC as independent contractors teaching classes.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, Tana, it may be more extensive, but it's no different than Peter Martin or Ryan Carroll or Chris Collins. They're all doing.
Well, I think that the difference is, and maybe it's a matter of nuance, is this is our music program.
Yeah, well, it is and it isn't, right? Because we still have music during the day. Anyway, yes, I agree. It's worth looking into, for sure.
But you're concerned about the work that LLK did on the MOU.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at my contract with LLK.
Okay. Claire, that would be Luann, Karen, and Leilani, yes. It's a little problematic.
Practicing without a license.
Is that mic on?
Yeah, it is. It is.
As long as we put ear two and we feel good about it.
I've got some questions too. So the budget confused me when I first saw it. I think I understand it now, but I appreciate you're trying to give us an estimate of what the program used to be 2 years ago in cost and how the costs have changed. But the reality is, it's just looking at the paper by itself, it appears to have a $34,000 deficit, mm-hmm. and one wonders, how are you intending to pay for that? And the answer is, you're going to pay for it with district funds, is the idea. Yes. But there's already a line item in here, the district contribution is $65,000. So that this actually is more of a communications document than an actual budget. The district is going to pay $100,000, and that is not in this document.
That is what we're estimating, but again, it's...
Right.
And you know, this is the balance of us doing a little bit more research on this, but when you look at how many teachers we are hiring... I'm just saying, but that's where we have to maybe find a balance to say the district will contribute this, and then we need to ask parents to increase their contribution.
No, so I appreciate the choices being made. I just want, I think it would be helpful to have a budget reflecting what we actually intend to do, which is we intend to have, according to this budget, our best guess is the district will pay about $100,000. And that's not what this budget says. So
it says we'll pay $65,000 and we're going to overrun by another $35,000.
Right, that doesn't actually... really makes sense.
The budget says, you're absolutely right. I guess I thought about it, why we keep 65? It's just a reference point.
It's a reference point, right.
So we want to keep it there to see how much we're growing the program and where do we want to go.
So to understand it, in that way, it's a board choice about investment in the music program. And it seems like, I mean, there are three obvious choices. One is do what we did a few years ago, which is pay $65,000 and pull kids out of class. And we tried that for many years. There are all sorts of pros and cons of that structure. Another is we could just abandon it altogether and not teach instrumental music in the elementary school. That's a choice we could make and pay zero. And then this is a new structure that the district has come up with to pay some more and do it outside of school and get something more. So that's just a values choice, and we can decide whether we're interested in that or not. If we like this program, I think that's what it costs, and we pay this for this program. And I think the pilot year went really well. So Spring Fling was amazing and inspirational. I like the idea of making it a community event, perhaps. There were some rough edges, of course. It's a pilot thing, pros and cons, but I think it was promising enough to keep going. So that's kind of exciting. One of the line items was ActiveNet. That's a online sign-up? Yeah, okay. Just wanted to verify that I understood that. And then I guess my last question is the parent contribution. So Anne was suggesting raising it. I've got a question the other way, which is the change between the previous program a couple of years ago and what we have now, besides more time and before school and the different hours, there is an idea it was part of the public school education before, mm-hmm. and now it's something outside that you pay for. Mm-hmm. And maybe for many Hillsborough families that really doesn't make much of a difference other than timing, but for some it might. Well, what do you get for free from education and what do you have to pay for? And I was just wondering if there's some sort of a student scholarship kind of a need-based approach.
We do
to
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that wasn't in the plan that I saw. That.
Yes, but we do that. So we, yes.
Because
we do that in a subtle way. We don't make it super public, but we are very open to supporting families who...
I would hate to have a situation where a few years ago, all children who wanted to could do instrumental music, and now some children wish to and they can't afford it.
Yes.
That doesn't seem like something...
No, we want to give it to every child who wants to participate, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
With that, any questions or comments from members of the public? In that case, I will move that we approve the instrumental music agreement for the elementary music program for next 2019-2020.
Can we amend that to say
subject to
review and approval from legal on the agreement?
Yes.
Motion so amended.
Second.
And seconded. Moved and seconded with amendments. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you, Lauren. And LLK. That ends current business. So item number 5, public hearing for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have any items not on the agenda that they wish to comment on?
Is this it?
I think this might be a good
question. Greg has some.
Would you want to introduce the
yes,
member
I
of the
do.
Public? Okay, Luann.
So I just want to share that when Jamie Adams was retiring, the night that it was on the personnel action review, her sister broke her ankle and Jamie had to go to UCSF. So we didn't have a chance to have kind of a little farewell to Jamie with this group. We've done it with multiple other groups, but we didn't have a chance to do it with this group. And so Greg has a little poem that he would like to read to Jamie. So it's all yours, Trustee Danis.
This was after the Crocker graduation. The next day we went to Oregon for my son's graduation from college, and this was on my mind, so I wrote this while I was in Oregon. I didn't intend to be reading this today, but I'll read it. Okay, the awards have been given, the speeches are done. She gave the diplomas to daughters and sons. She's happy to be going out while on top, knowing her influence never will stop. So why am I bothered and mildly upset? It's because she's implied that I owe her a debt. 2 times now she's asked me in reproving tones, I'm leaving, so where is my poem? I had no idea that one of such stature could think that my musings in couplets would matter. For one who avoids and eschews the attention, I assume she'd prefer to avoid such a mention. But she's still under contract, and so I have time and the privilege to honor her in a short rhyme. And this was being read somewhere else. I hope who is reading this calls it out loud, because we should have embarrassed her before a crowd. At a time we were desperate to find a true leader, it became quite apparent how much we would need her. We already knew her as brightest and best, and a good kind of wicked, not a witch, from the West. She fosters ideas and will always insist that others should chance it, step out, take a risk. She's preached it so often that now we should hail her as queen of the lessons we must learn from failure. These stanzas are meant in no manner to mock her, for we all know better than to mess with our doctor. Yes, she's caring, concerned, empathetic, and kind, but behind the eyes twinkling, there exists a steel spine. Now she's chosen to exit and close out her part, and she says we will always reside in her heart. While the feeling is mutual, as all clearly see, as she says, we will always be her family. If I could sum up one last thought that will reach her, it's my thanks and respect that she stayed a true teacher. So Jamie, although I am, was miles from home, I hope you are happy now. Here is your poem.
I will be forever grateful for these last 10 years. That being said, when board meetings went long, I was close to tears. However, today I want to highlight what was true and right, a dedicated board of trustees with a beacon light, always concerned with what was noble and fair, as each of you held high values by sitting in those front chairs. It's no wonder why the Hillsborough School District is such a success. You expected the very best, nothing less. Many don't realize the school board leads the way, never at liberty to just automatically accept, come what may. With you, our trustees, who are truly amazing, of course, trusting our superintendent and all of us without fear or discourse. So let's break this down one by one, for it's been a great run. Let's start with President Getz. Oh, what I've so enjoyed our conversations over the many years as we try to find the best way to think educationally about what, when, where, and why. Every now and then, texting a thumbs up when our minds meet, me always ending with, I like the way you think. Never miss it. Margie, I'm sending this message with love, care, and hopefully grace, because you've inspired me in my quest to create an innovative place, to push and explore new domains, and I think you knew that would actually keep me sane. Gilbert and I go way back, both at Cal, but we did not know. Our paths did not cross until West, our mission in tow.
He helped me understand the Hillsborough way, a true leader who I count on this day. And Anne, who bridged my gap from West to Crocker with care, she had my back when I needed remedies and repair. She never wavered, always strong in her belief that I was the woman for any job. What a relief. I have saved Greg for the end. He was a newbie to me since South was always around the bend. That said, he was the one who was on my hire, and from that moment, I was thankful and tried to aspire, not only to convince him of value beyond South and good cheer, but to finally receive a poem from his wit, which just happened here. So now the time has come for me to retire, and how great for Crocker they found a great hire. With my poem from Greg in hand, mission completed, hopefully not forgotten or deleted, but to pass the torch on so Crocker can go forward from here and to the beyond. So before I close the stanza, there was a phrase I used when leaving West Bonanza. I promised never to use it again because it was said in love, but the time is right to say it here and to all. Love you, love your show. I used to say that to West. I have not said it since. I leave you with that, no greater praise, I know, or at least I don't think so. You will now enter this new phase, sans dreaming, I suspect, but holding in your heart my love for you and respect. As for me, I'll never forget where each of you were when we first met. 10 years of my life, well spent, clearly etched in my mind as wonderful events. As the keys get passed to Miss Brady to Crockerland, I will take my final bow, knowing it's all in good hands. Love you, love your show.
From the board.
Thank you.
Careful.
Beautiful.
Get in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Just that much. Ah!
Okay.
It'll be three of them.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
Sweet. Nice poem.
Well, I liked yours better.
That was
great. Anyway, it's been a great run. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Awesome. Any other members of the public have items not available?
Any other folks out there?
I just hate how these board meetings are all alike. You know?
Yes. All right, item 6, consent agenda. Anyone want to pull anything off the consent agenda? Yes, Gilbert.
I'd like to pull 6.5, school site council.
Okay. Any others? No? In that case, I'll move to approve items 6.1 through 6.4 and 6.6 through 6.7. Is there a second?
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The rest of the consent agenda passes. 6.5, Gilbert.
Yes, in reading through the school site council summaries, I found there was a typo that had slipped in. Director of Educational Services' name was incorrectly spelled.
Throughout the document.
On which document would that be?
North site council report.
We'll take care of that.
Someone could review that and just make sure it's accurate.
Got it.
Here. Okay. Any other comments on 6.5? Can I make a motion?
I put item 6.5 back on the consent agenda.
I think we need a new motion to approve item 6.5.
I move that we approve item 6.5, 2018-2019 school site council summaries.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No, 6.5 passes as well. Thank you. Item 7, communications and board item discussion. Any members of the board have any communications or items for board? No. Item 8, public address concerning items on the closed session agenda. This is actually the closed session that we evaluate the superintendent. So if any of you have anything to say about the superintendent, any members of the public have anything to contribute on the closed session agenda? Seeing none. Okay. We will adjourn the regular meeting.
That's not working.
At 10:35. Thank you, everyone.
Don't give him the bell again, Karen.
And we will have closed session afterwards. Thank you.
Don, maybe we can share out those goals.